Welcome to the Soul Grit Podcast. I'm Ann Taylor McNeese, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I also love Jesus, and I'm passionate about all things gospel and therapy. I created Soul Grit to be at the intersection of mental health and Christian faith. Christ followers need a place to ask questions and get answers about mental health. Join me as we dive into real stories and real questions from people who want to honor God with their hearts, souls, and minds. Hi, welcome back to the Soul Grit Podcast. This is Anne, and I'm here today with Denise Sultanfuss. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you today because, as my listeners may be picking up on, I've been really interested in this idea of integrative health lately, and that is your specialty. So before I get going, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Thanks. Yeah, I am Denise Sultanfuss, and I'm a certified integrative health and wellness coach and an integrative health practitioner. Mm-hmm. So I earned my master's degree recently as a health and wellness coach and my certification as an integrative health practitioner. And I have a private practice in Maryland.
Okay, great. So when you say integrative health, I'm familiar with that. I'm sure some of our listeners are, but just in case somebody's not, what does that mean, integrative health?
Well, for me, integrative health is where I approach, I have certain pillars. My practice is very client-centered, evidence-informed, and we practice client-practitioner relationship. We look for optimal health. We want to reach optimal health. And we look at mind, body, and soul.
Yeah.
And make that connection. So it's sort of like a whole centered approach. Mm-hmm. And I don't disregard biomedicine or allopathic medicine, conventional medicine, whichever term you want to use, because we do definitely need it. But what I do in my practice is we just, try approach things holistically mm-hmm. and naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk a lot about integration here on the Soul Grit Podcast because it's my passion to integrate our spiritual life with our mental health life. But the deeper I go into the field, the more I know that it can't just be even just those two fields integrated. It has to also be our physical body that is integrated into that. So as you're talking mind, body, spirit, sometimes Christian listeners can get turned off a little bit because they think like there's a lot of worldly, new age, secular kind of ideas about the mind, body, spirit connection. But people like you and I are here to say, actually, this is in the scripture and this is what we need to be paying attention to, correct?
Absolutely. There are many aspects, many conversations that we have in my office regarding that, where I sort of share with clients because they may be a little bit, a red flag may go off. Mm-hmm. And I explained that if we trace it back, it showed up in scripture first. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of other, organizations or, other religions sort of extracted mm-hmm. a particular concept from scripture and just went with it. And so we just sort of pull it back. And yeah. So, yeah.
Well, what made you interested in being a health and wellness coach in the first place?
Well, I always was interested in, I grew up, my dad was a hippie. So I grew up, we grew our own food. So I really had a good foundation, but it wasn't until I became very ill with chronic Lyme disease. Mm. And where I live, it's the epicenter for Lyme disease.
Right.
And at the time, when I became very sick, too sick to really take care of my family, we had very little resources as far as like knowledgeable resources. Mm-hmm. Physicians, they just weren't prepared or well educated about the disease. And so I had to really start researching things for myself. about how to manage the disease. And then I eventually was blessed to go under the care of an integrative MD who was Lyme literate. And so that sort of launched and evoked this curiosity and this passion about, you know, where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you said you completed your master's degree and also a certification. So what are some of the ways now that you work with clients?
So typically I wear two hats. I wear my health and wellness coach hat, mm-hmm. and then I wear my integrative health practitioner hat. And after several sessions, clients can see me silently switching hats back and forth. But my health and wellness hat is where I help clients with habit change and lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. And they'll come in to my office or into a session, and there are certain lifestyle habits, problematic habits they would like to change. Mm-hmm. And so I help them with neuroplasticity, you know, different techniques with behavior change. And then often it spills into I'm able to switch to my integrative health practitioner hat, where I get to root cause of a particular chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's very interesting. And I also help my clients with personal health literacy.
Okay, so the health and wellness coaching part is like figuring out what are the maybe behavioral or mindset obstacles that are keeping people from making the changes they want to, and then also helping them make the changes, coaching, encouraging, motivating them to make those changes. And then the integrative health practitioner side is like what's actually going on in your body. What do we need to supplement or change or test or any of those
exactly.
little bit more scientific, complicated processes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm so interested in this right now. And for me as a marriage and family therapist, I can't practice in any of those ways under my license, but I find myself wishing that I could like go get the training and be able to offer like the whole picture of
sure.
like, what's going on in your mental health, what's going on in your physical health, your spiritual health, the whole thing, your relationships. So I wanted to ask you just from your experience, what are you seeing? Like, why are we talking about this on a mental health podcast? I mean, I have my idea, but like, what are you seeing as far as mental health when these people come to you and they might, you know, have a chronic disease like Lyme or an autoimmune something that's going on and you're helping them make changes? Why are we talking about mental health in this?
That's a great question. And I'll just isolate one particular area of mental health that I see quite often, and that's stress. Mm-hmm. And I will have a client that, you know, is experiencing and struggling with chronic stress. And the chronic stress has gotten to the point where it has affected certain body systems, whether it's her hormones or her gut health, various, you know, other like digestion, those types of things. And so, you know, we get to the root cause, but she's still experiencing stress. So what I do is, which is affecting her mental health. Mm-hmm. And so we, at the same time, take care of her physical health. We look at the physical health, and then we also, you know, incorporate spiritual practices and mindfulness practices. And that's another tricky word. That's a trigger word, I should say, mm-hmm. is mindfulness. And, you know, scripture does, you know, uses the word mindful. And so I always remind clients that even though we're going to do some mindfulness practices or mindful eating, those types of things, it's rooted mm-hmm. in scripture. And so we get to the root cause of the stress, and we learn to, I help clients how to process the stress and perhaps change a particular lifestyle that may be evoking stress. Or a stress response, different ways to respond to stress. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we bring in supplements like adaptogenics and those types of supplements that help our body adapt to stress while we're still working on incorporating stress reduction activities like movement, exercise, and eating, because we can eat, the way that we eat helps us reduce stress as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So use the vocabulary word that I just want to make sure everybody knows. Tell us about adaptogenics.
So adaptogenics, it's an ancient group of herbs. Mm. For example, holy basil is one, ashwagandha, that's becoming very popular. So those, I think it's like five or six of them, that reishi mushrooms are in the category. And what they do is they just help our body adapt to stress. Mm-hmm. And so we call them adaptogenic.
And those are things that people can take as a supplement to their diet, right?
You can take them as a supplement to your diet. There are certain foods that naturally have adaptogenics in them. But I always encourage clients to really try and focus on changing your lifestyle habits before relying on supplements.
Right.
Because supplements are there to supplement, and they're not the magic pill. So we want to deal with the behavior, the behavior change, and then we want to make sure that we're eating nourishing foods, and then we deal with supplements.
Okay. What do you notice when people start to address their lifestyle, address their nutrition? What do you notice starts to change about them mentally and emotionally?
Well, the very first thing I notice is they are less likely to become anxious in a particular situation. Mm-hmm. If they've learned to manage their stress, they're more likely to engage in a stress management technique. And for example, even with some of my clients who experience depression, if there's a trigger, when they experience a trigger for depression, we've talked about, we've established a particular protocol for them, that works for them. For example, to go out for a walk in the woods, in nature, or to go engage in a hobby that, helps them, it reduces the stress or just re-engages their mindset.
Mm-hmm. And do you see people like starting to heal from depression, anxiety?
Yeah, and it's amazing. I start seeing people once they sort of clean up their eating life, mm-hmm. and they start eating foods that nourish and nurture their body. They start seeing, and then we have that conversation. They start seeing changes, like, they're less anxious. They may experience less depression. And then when we start adding in to their protocol, exercise, movement, we bio-individualize their protocol. So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start noticing less brain fog, more energy. And so they understand this connection between their physical life, their spiritual life, and their mental health. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you used another vocabulary word I'm going to have you describe to us. What does it mean to bio-individualize the protocol?
I love that word, because so often the diet world has made us believe that one particular diet is going to fix or serve everyone well, and that's not the case. So what I mean by bio-individualized is we look at you, we look at your lifestyle, your experiences, any traumas, your illnesses, those types of things, and we consider those when we're designing an eating life, when we're designing a stress management plan or an exercise plan. We have to take all those areas into consideration in order for you as an individual to succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, not every mom has 30 minutes to do devotions. So mm-hmm. we even have to bio-individualize our devotional life,
mm-hmm.
Depending upon what season of life you're in. And the same with our eating life. And so we just look at all areas,
yeah.
and we create this plan that works for you, where you're going to succeed and be able to meet these goals that you're going to set.
Yeah. I'm thinking about a conversation I recently had with a couple of friends where one of my friends has been a personal trainer. She's in her 50s now, and she's been a personal trainer for most of her adult life. And she has to have complex carbs. Like that is how her body operates the best. Mm-hmm. Whereas I can do a ketogenic diet where I'm eating more low carb vegetables and quality meats, healthy fats, and my body does really well on that, but it wouldn't be enough carbs for this other person. And then I have a third friend in the conversation. She's a vegetarian, so she's not mm-hmm. She's going to have a really hard time getting enough protein without also increasing her carbs, because her protein's coming from beans and grains and things like that. So that conversation was an example of how each of us has to figure out what's going to work for our bodies, what makes us feel good, what makes us able to sustain it long term, because it's no good creating the perfect plan if you can't stick to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then you have to look at what mineral deficiencies you may have, or vitamin deficiencies. And that's going to be different for each person. And And in my practice, we don't use the word diet, mm-hmm. because I always tell clients diet is not a verb, it's a noun. Mm-hmm. And we call it an eating life because we want to nurture a sustainable, nourishing eating life.
Yeah. Yeah. Diet is just too loaded in our culture
now. Yeah.
It irritates me because people in my family know that I'm eating in a certain style right now for my health, and hopefully for longevity of this particular style working out for me. And I don't like when somebody says, "Can you eat this thing on your diet?"
Right.
I'm like, no, I can eat whatever I want. Okay.
Right, exactly.
But I'm choosing not to eat certain things because it doesn't make me feel good and it doesn't help me meet my health goals.
Right. Yeah, and I have the conversations too, Anne, that we don't use phrases like cheat meals. Mm-hmm. Instead, because that associates something sinister with food, and food is a beautiful gift from God. And so we use words like flex meals and mindful meals or celebratory meals, those types of phrases. And it's just sort of pivoting into a more healthy view of food and a healthy view of an eating life.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the changes I've had to make recently in my eating life is celebratory meals actually being for celebrations.
Yeah.
not having like daily celebrations of minor accomplishments or just getting your regular work done. That does not require a celebration. The fact that you are with your family or your friends is not necessarily a celebration, but actually sticking to a healthy plan most of the time and then planning out what the celebrations are going to be. Like, we just had Mother's Day. We had mm-hmm. Easter before that. We've had some birthdays this month. And those are actual celebrations that I am going to partake in certain foods that I wouldn't normally on my day-to-day mm-hmm. life. And I feel a lot happier doing that when I can actually say this is a feast day, because like even what we see in the Bible, the mm-hmm. Jewish people were prescribed certain days for feasting and certain days for not feasting and for fasting as well. And so to have that rhythm as part of your adult life, that has been very satisfying to me.
Yeah, I love to hear that, because it's, you know, eating is a practice. Mm-hmm. And when we you can have those celebratory meals, but the next day you re-engage in your eating life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been really helpful. I know we've talked a little bit, you and I, before. I've talked about how our church culture doesn't handle this very well. Can you say what you're seeing about that in our Christian subculture?
Sure. I actually do quite a few talks about this. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that in many conversations I've had with clients who are they're establishing a new eating life, And oftentimes, church potlucks and social gatherings at churches are a little bit treacherous for women who are, just creating this new journey, this new health journey. And I'm not sure. I've interviewed several women for my book that's coming out about this very topic. And it looks like we just don't, we are taking really good care of our spiritual life, and we are not doing such a great job with our physical life. And I really would love to say I knew exactly why. I just don't think it's a conversation that we're having at the pulpit about the necessity of taking care of the vehicle that spreads the gospel. And so a lot of women are learning to bring their own foods, because this new eating life or this new health journey has been such a powerful part of their, it's impacted their spiritual life, and they're making that connection between their physical life and their spiritual life, that they are willing to bring their own foods to a social gathering, or they're becoming bold enough to suggest, let's do something healthy. Let's offer some healthier options. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really proud of women who are willing to step up and have that conversation.
Yeah. Our family hosts a weekly small group for families where people are able to bring their kids, and we always have a meal together on Sunday evenings. And this can be very tricky, because if you imagine all kids from toddlerhood up through teenage years, and then husbands and wives and single people, and we're all on a different eating journey. And the kids are really excited to see the trays of cookies come in, or the bags of chips, or the 2-liter bottles of sodas. And that's what they're there for. This is motivating to them, right? And then for me, looking at cooking for a large group of people, sometimes I'm thinking, what can you make for a large group that's not going to cost a lot of money? It's going to please a lot of people, and, you know, that I can get ready on a Sunday afternoon, you know? And so it's been challenging to find things that meet all of the criteria, right? So I have started moving towards, hey guys, I'm going to be grilling some chicken breasts, and I'm also going to provide a green salad, and you all can just bring whatever you want that goes with that. And so then other people have the choice. If they want their kids to be having the treats and the chips and all of that, then, and they brought that, then that's what they're going to eat. But I know for me, I've provided the main dish, and it's something that meets my goals. And I just have to have the discipline to say no to the rest of the stuff.
Right. Right. And that's a great example. And if we could enlarge that and carry that into our church potlucks and the gatherings that we have at church, because I really don't think that we're nourishing our bodies collectively as a congregation in most churches that I've seen, and I've that my clients have shared with me. So I'm just seeing that we have a little bit of work to do as a congregation.
If you've listened to the Soul Grit podcast for even one episode, you know my guests and I believe that when we integrate the power of God with the wisdom of modern psychology, we get supercharged healing, change, and growth in counseling. As a Christian therapist, however, I realize that there are many practitioners out there who are personally Christians but don't know how to integrate their faith into their counseling practices. That's why I created the e-course, Faith Integration for Therapists. In this premium 5-module course, therapists who love Jesus will learn everything from understanding their calling, to marketing their practices to Christians, to adapting evidence-based interventions to honor our faith. You can learn more about the online course at www.soulgritresources.com/courses and send an email to info@soulgritresources.com to receive a discount code. Now, you mentioned just really briefly that you are writing a book. It's not out yet. It has a few months before that will be available to the general public. But I know you've been deep in the thought process of what's going into the book, and you're trying to help Christians heal their relationship with food. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So the title of the book is called The Broken Plate, Repairing Your Fractured Relationship with Food. And it is for the, you know, my faith-based reader. And so it's about, I offer ways to acknowledge or figure out if you have a broken relationship with food. And it's, you know, it's not condemning, but it's with compassion and empathy. And then I offer ways to repair that relationship. And it's been very helpful. I've been using a lot of the techniques that I use in my coaching practice is going to go into the book as well. And I've watched it help many women who come into my office and they've already had red flags for chronic disease. And one of the very first things we do, Anne, is we start with the foundational step, and that's to look at your eating life. And so often they're bringing in some problematic eating habits. And so I help in the book, I help women just sort of go through those potential eating habits and how to develop or reinvent new ones that are sustainable and long-term.
Do you mind sharing just a few tips with the audience?
Oh, sure. So one of the tips that I have is one of the very first conversations I have with most of my clients is the idea of not jumping on the diet bandwagon, and that we just need to learn to shop the perimeter of the grocery store, because that's where you're going to find most whole foods, most nourishing foods. Become a rabid label reader and just don't assume that something that's marked natural or healthy is going to be healthy. And it's learning health literacy and listening to your body and what one food may benefit someone else. Your body may not, it may not benefit your body. And so I look at green, for example, and some people may not, I have a whole chapter on green. And so again, bringing in the word bio-individualized, that we have to look at what works for our body, but at the same time, we're feeding our body things from nature, things from creation, and lots of plants and proteins and, you know, room for unprocessed carbohydrates, but at the same time, listening to your body, what's working for your body. And then one of the key tools I use is a symptom log, and I have clients really becoming in tune about what certain foods are doing or not doing for their body. And so they keep a symptom log, and gratitude, like journaling is great, gratitude journaling. So yeah, and just making sure that there is this connection between their spiritual life and their physical life, and that they see the beauty of food. And I think we have become consumers of food, and we are not so much, you know, oriented with the gift of food, that food is a gift, you know, for our good and God's glory. And so we have conversations about that. So that's one tip I would say is your perspective on food. And the beauty of it. And you don't always, you're not able to get that perspective from something that's in a box.
Yeah. Well, I know that some people would love to have that perspective. Like, they believe that food came from God. They believe it is a gift. They would like to have that in their life, but they just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to shop for the right things, plan the right things, cook the right things. That seems like a huge hurdle to overcome in an already busy life. And I know that there are some things that you offer to help with that as well, right?
Yeah, I offer meal plans that are very basic. I believe in simplicity. So typically I offer clients these beautiful, healthy meal plans that are, you can cook in like less than 20 minutes, but they're nourishing. And, you know, if need be, I bio-individualize it. If someone needs to balance their hormones, I will do a hormone meal plan. But yeah, I'm all about making something as simple as possible so that it can be sustainable.
Yeah.
And you can cultivate a lifestyle of eating well, eating healthy. The same with exercising. I typically don't even talk about exercising or not use the word exercising because it's a trigger word that we have to join a gym.
Yeah.
And so we talk about movement.
Yeah.
We talk about movement. And what does movement look like for you? How can you sustain movement in your life? Mm-hmm. And at the stage of life you're in. So we, you know, that we treat exercise or movement and eating and stress management and sleep hygiene. We make sure that it's very sustainable.
Great. Yeah. I've talked before on the podcast about how I always, before we even get into some of the counseling theory or the diagnostics or anything like that, I'm looking at these five pillars, which are you eating food that's good for you? Are you, and drinking water, of course, are you moving your body in some way that feels good to you? Are you sleeping enough and sleeping quality sleep? Are you getting some social support around this? And mm-hmm. then also, how's your connection with God or your spiritual life? And if you have those five pillars in place, that's what I can build your mental health treatment plan on top of that. But if you don't have those in place, and I know you add the stress, taking care of your stress as well as mm-hmm. one of your pillars. And so that's all within both of our wheelhouse, right? Doing yeah. those things. Yeah,
exactly. We have the same first five pillars.
Yeah.
And I just added like three more just because of the physical aspect of working with the body
yeah.
and helping to restore health from chronic disease. Mm-hmm. I've had to add three other pillars.
Yeah. What are the three others that you add?
So the three others would be stress management, supplementation, and which comes, it's one of the last pillars, and then detoxification. Mm. So those are, yeah.
Yeah, getting the bad stuff in, getting the bad stuff out, getting the good stuff in.
Exactly, exactly.
Sustaining yep. that lifestyle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I want to work with you. I'm personally on this journey too of doing all of these things that you're talking about. Like I'm aware of some things in my body being perimenopausal, having fatty livers, knowing that everybody in my family is on a statin for high cholesterol. Like there's certain things that I'm just now at 42 saying, okay, I have some power in this to be able to make some changes, to be able to have a healthy body as I move into this next phase of life. And so I'm really leaning into this as an individual and also as a practitioner, because I know that people can heal. You can heal from high cholesterol. You can heal from fatty liver. You can heal from diabetes. You can heal from depression or anxiety. And that's why we're having this conversation on this podcast, because one, you guys get to hear about my own journey, but also because I want to instill that hope that God made your body and your mind in a way that working together and learning some new things and doing some new things, He wants it to heal. He didn't create it so that it could just be broken down and then you go to heaven and then things are fine. But you have a mission in this life. You have a calling that God has placed on your life, and you're not going to be able to do it if you don't take care of this vehicle that He gave you to do it in.
Amen. And I say to, you know, clients, and I had the conversation that when you take care of your body and your mind and your spiritual life, you can serve God and others from a place of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And I have these, I have a frames of the body systems on my wall in my office, and above the frame, I have the sign that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, right, as a reminder that God created this beautiful, intricate mechanism And we are stewards of this incredible mechanism that we have. And it's so exciting to watch clients discover that when the light bulb finally goes off and they're like, ah, you know, I can change my lifestyle and my eating habits and my movement habits, and my A1C has improved, or my thyroid is fully functioning once again. So it's really exciting, and they have more energy to serve others,
right?
And less brain fog, and they're not burdened with chronic illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and more we're finding out more things that are interconnected. Like if your thyroid is off, it can cause anxiety or it can cause depression. And so if we, you know, treat your thyroid issue through some of these lifestyle changes, supplements and detox and eating the right foods at the right times, like that can fix what's going on with your thyroid, and then having your thyroid balanced out could fix what's going on with your depression or your anxiety. And I know it's not that simple. It's a complicated process, but I want people to know that it's possible. And that there are practitioners out there like you, like me, people who want to look at your whole health so that you can serve God and you can feel Absolutely. Good in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Denise, thank you so much for sharing your perspective on this. Can you tell us just how people can find you if they want to work with you?
Sure. So my website, which has a list of all of my coaching options and my meal plan products, and it will be the home of, will be my bookstore. Yes. It's just DeniseSultanFuss.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm very active on Instagram, educating people about certain things like stress management techniques. And I'm just at DeniseSultanFuss on Instagram. And on Facebook, it's Denise Sultanfuss as well. So I made it very simple.
Thank you. And that's SultanFuss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And to make it easy for people, I'll just put that in the show notes with all the links that they can click on to be able to find you. Is there a freebie on your website?
Oh, there are several fun freebies. There's okay. like a 7-day busy mom's healthy meal plan. There's Perfect. All sorts of great freebies.
Yeah, I was thinking that you had a meal plan on there, and that's something that I'm passionate about as well. So make sure that you click on those links in the show notes so that you can get the freebies that Denise is offering. And before we wrap up, Denise, what are you doing for soul care?
These days, I am in love with prayer journaling. Hmm. And I love it because I finally found a prayer journal that suits me and the time that I have in the morning. And the other beautiful thing that I've been excited about doing probably in the last year is scripture meditation. Mm-hmm. And just setting aside 5 to 10 minutes in the morning when it's quiet and meditating on a particular part of scripture. Yeah. And sometimes when I can't sleep, I'll do a body scan and I'll put on that particular scripture. Okay. Yeah, and it's just been such a great way to start the day, but sometimes end the day as well.
Yeah. So again, like integrating your physical body with your mental or spiritual practice of meditating on scripture. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mind mentioning like what's working about the prayer journal? Is it a format that it's set up in?
Yeah, it has a few prompts, but they're the same prompts every day. And I love the questions like, how are you incorporating your faith today? Mm. How are you incorporating your faith in the day? What, of course, things that you want to pray for the day, but how is faith active in your day? How is God showing up in your day? Mm. Those types of things. And it's just sort of like this reminder that my prayer life isn't just about what I need, mm-hmm. but it's my relationship. It's a deepening relationship, with God. And it incorporates, how am I incorporating scripture in my day? Okay. And so I love that reminder. Mm-hmm. Because it becomes more about, less about me and more about him.
Well, if you have a link for that as well, I can include that for people in case they're looking for that.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, and it's actually, and it's called Her Prayer Journal, H-E-R, Her Prayer Journal.
All right. Simple.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for being here and having this conversation with us, and hopefully people can find themselves on their journey for better health.
Thank you, Anne. It's been great talking with you.
The Soul Grit Podcast is a production of Soul Grit Resources. You can find more at soulgritresources.com or on the socials at Soul Grit Resources. You can email me at info@soulgritresources.com.